Welcome to Base Camp for Men. I'm your host, Tony Rizak. This is a show that gives you insights and resources on how to live a more courageous life. We'll be looking at men, the current state of masculinity, and how to create a more inspiring narrative for all men. Welcome, and let's get started. I would like to borrow this dedication from Dr. Michael Sala. This episode is dedicated to all those brave contactees who faced ridicule, censorship, and retaliation for revealing the truth about face-to-face encounters with extraterrestrial visitors. This one's for you. Hello, base campers. Hope you're all doing well. Well, as promised from a few months back, actually, today is a solo episode on a topic that I've been exploring for the better part of two decades, the secret space program and the truth about our involvement and collaboration with several extraterrestrial races. Oh, there it is. I said it already. I've danced around this topic, mentioning it from time to time, and even had on some guests like Lily Nova and Champ Perinia, and we explored it a bit with each one of them. This episode took a long time to put together. Why? Well, while making this episode, I kept trying to gather a few nuggets and make something, but the material itself seemed to slip through my fingers. As a writer, I was swimming in strong currents, and I kept asking myself, what does God want me to speak of here? What will be the best approach, knowing that this is new material for some listeners, and that there are listeners who know a ton about this, way more than I do, actually. How do I construct this? The phrase, in the weeds, kept coming to mind. For no other topic or episode to date has been so difficult to put together. Not because there's not enough sources or good material, but because there's too much. There are rabbit holes upon rabbit holes, each interconnected to parts of the truth about our place in the galaxy and with whom we share this place with. Topics like Roswell, Operation Paperclip, the Majestic 12, the Galactic Federation, not to mention all the ET races, the Pleiadians, the Arcturians, the Sirians, the Andromedans, and the Alpha Draconians and Reptilians. And then there's the other topics, the Dark Fleet and the Solar Warden, which is the name of the Navy secret space program, the Air Force secret space program. Your head starts to spin, and with good reason. What is what? How can we discern the truth, especially when we've been taught and trained not to look at any of this, lest you be branded as a conspiracy theorist, also known as a truther? But let's not get ahead of ourselves. Our search is simplified by one simple fact. The truth is looking for us as well. It wants to be found, and we are just the kind of people to pull it even closer. Powerful information beckons us from ancient times to present day. Where are you at, base camper, in your awareness of the ET topic? Let's dust off our tinfoil hats, fasten our seatbelts, and have a look at a topic that may very well end up defining the times we live in. Enjoy. Well, this episode came out nothing like I thought it would. God seemed to have the controls. I guess I should say God working through the Pleiadians to make it more topical. I know some of you will be like, man, I know all this stuff already, and that's okay. For those folks, I hope I polished and framed things in a way that is pleasing to you. However, for the folks out there where this ET material is new, I hope you feel invited to explore the terrain, both the vast amounts of legitimate ET material, but also your own intuition and inner knowing. For it is my belief that the collaboration with positive extraterrestrial races and human psychic abilities go hand in hand, each one further developing the other. What follows is my best effort to get you to take a look at this fascinating topic and to do so with fresh eyes and a new perspective. And for many, maybe this is the first you're hearing of these things, and I will do my best to capture what is essential information and give you resources to go down the rabbit hole in search of the truth, if that is your desire. And I will attempt to do so without overwhelming you. The topic of extraterrestrials, or ETs for short, is naturally controversial. Not because you can't find the truth, but because there's been so much disinformation and lies around this topic. However, people want to know the truth. It's in our DNA, isn't it? And many more people than you would ever imagine nod their heads when you start unpacking this information, as if it is resonating with an inner knowing and you are simply confirming it for them. In fact, a recent poll of American beliefs about extraterrestrials living among us yielded a surprising result. Of 1,000 people polled, a whopping 37% believe that ETs live among us. The New York Post reported 1 out of 3 Americans think aliens live among us. That tells me that our consciousness has been prepared for the upcoming events. We have reached a tipping point. I will be using a number of resources, but none more so than Dr. Michael Sala's excellent books. I have a number of them in my library, and they sit high up on the shelf. We'll go over the resources at the end, but for now, let's get to this ET episode. This seems to be an appropriate episode to start as such. Nothing I'm about to tell you is true. Everything I'm about to tell you is true. Happy hunting, base campers. For me, the interest in extraterrestrials started innocently enough, as many of you know, with crop circles. I remember seeing a collection of these unbelievable images that photographers had collected of these large fractal geometric designs done on a large scale in farmers' fields in the UK. And I remember these images triggering some sort of memory in me. It was as if I was being exposed to a cosmic language, and it was a language that I knew. I just wasn't sure how to read it anymore. The overall message from these seemed to be benevolent, a sort of, we are here and we will help when it is time. That was the extent of my involvement at the time, just a natural love and curiosity and reverence for the transcendent beauty of these fractal geometric designs that were put there by something with an obviously high spiritual IQ. I wondered who did this, and why did I seem to know at least part of the answer? Then it was my exposure to all the Roswell eyewitness testimony. I don't want to belabor this, as there are 1,000,001 books on the topic, as well as Ancient Aliens on TV. The story is well known by almost everyone at this point. In the summer of 1947, there was a UFO that crashed in the farms of southern New Mexico, and these farmers found a bunch of strange materials from the downed spacecraft, materials that no Earthlings had ever seen, stuff that was extremely lightweight and indestructible. Are you following me? This is where the famous Men in Black first came into consciousness, as the farmers said there were men in black suits who arrived and swept the area of all debris and evidence, telling the farmers it was a weather balloon. The weather balloon story was put out in the media, but it didn't fly. The local farmers were talking, and they knew better. Things weren't adding up. Following close behind Roswell were all the rumors about Area 51 and reverse engineering the technology and so forth. There was a myth and an inner knowing that was forming in the UFO community, that first at Patterson Air Force Base and then Area 51 was where the military was housing and developing some of the most important discoveries, and that even living extraterrestrials were underground there, collaborating. This doesn't seem very far-fetched to me, given all the various whistleblowers around this topic, but for some, the cognitive dissonance will kick in, keeping you from snooping any further. But here's the funny thing. We know what the truth is, don't we? Let's keep walking. Here's an email I received from the renowned researcher Dr. Michael Sala. I will let you sit with it and orient. It's kind of a long one, but I'm going to read the whole thing. If you're new to the topic, you may experience a deep denial as in, no way can this be true. I got to get out of here. All reasonable responses depending on your level of consciousness and understanding on the topic. For those in the know, this won't ruffle you in the least. Here's the email from Dr. Sala. He says, hello, Tony. We are fast approaching the beginning of 2024, and with it comes the dawn of a historic new era filled with official UFO disclosures that will shock and amaze the American and worldwide public. Several critical factors point to unprecedented disclosure events starting in 2024. First, the U.S. Congress will reconvene in September and is all set to pass its groundbreaking UAP Disclosure Act, which creates a formal process through the National Archives for historic UFO records to finally be released. Official records of all UFO incidents older than 25 years, i.e. prior to 1999, will be automatically released in 2024 unless compelling national security reasons warrant withholding those longer. Most importantly, it will be the U.S. president that will be directly involved in deciding what UFO records to release, a level of access to classified UFO records that has not occurred since the Eisenhower administration. Presidents Kennedy, Carter, Clinton, Obama, and Trump all tried to get access to classified UFO records during their administrations, but failed. It's hard to imagine any U.S. president not agreeing to disclose UFO records, given the level of public support this will give to their administration, especially in an election year. Second, the U.S. Congress will be holding further hearings on UFO information from whistleblowers who are ready to come forward and blow the lid on secret reverse engineering projects on retrieved alien spacecraft and bodies. David Grusch is merely the first in up to 40 highly credentialed whistleblowers that will be briefing members of Congress in the months ahead. Investigative reporters such as Michael Schellenberger confirm that whistleblowers know of up to 30 UFO craft that are held in various corporate or military facilities which are being secretly studied. Third, it's not just the United States that is in the midst of launching ground groundbreaking UFO disclosures. Other countries in the Five Eyes intelligence sharing group are about to unleash their own official disclosures. The likelihood is so great that Larry Maguire, a Canadian member of parliament, wrote an official letter to Canada's Minister of Defense where he expressed his concern that Canada will be made to look foolish given upcoming official UFO disclosures by other Five Eyes nations, Australia, UK, and the US. There are also highly credible rumors that France and the UN are about to launch their own UFO disclosure initiatives. Fourth, recent events in Peru point to a very disturbing possibility unfolding in the fall. The much-anticipated alien false flag event appears to be on the verge of happening there. Why Peru? There are several reasons why. Peru has a population that fully believes in the reality of UFOs and extraterrestrial life and can handle the cultural shock of very rapid disclosures of extraterrestrial life that would accompany an alien false flag event. Critically, the Peruvian parliament passed a resolution in May of 2023 that allows the U.S. military to enter Peru with weapons of war. The recently completed military exercise Resolute Sentinel saw the involvement of the U.S. Space Force and overlapped with the first in a series of alleged alien attacks on the Iquitu indigenous tribe on July 11th. As many researchers have noted, false flag events often occur after the launch of official military or government exercises, so it's worth keeping a close watch on Peru. Finally, the Ukraine war is going badly for the US, NATO, and the deep state, which fully backed an international media gaslighting campaign that Ukraine could impose a military solution upon Russia through a summer offensive to determine the future of Russian-speaking areas in the Donbass region. As Ukraine's military collapses, calls for a diplomatic solution are accelerating, thus bringing to a humiliating end to the U.S. and NATO's efforts to humble Russia on the battlefield through their Ukrainian proxy. New major distractions will be needed to redirect an angry European and U.S. population that learns they have been gaslighted and official UFO disclosures and or a false flag alien event will handily fulfill that need. Official UFO disclosures are finally coming, but may unfold in unexpected ways through a major false flag event. It's therefore best to be prepared for the various contingencies that could play out, which will ultimately elevate UFOs and extraterrestrial life to the mainstream public consciousness. Michael Sala, PhD. It's a pretty mind-blowing disclosure, isn't it? And really, one of my goals of this episode is to pique your interest in Dr. Sala's books. He covers it all, the 1942 spectacularly enigmatic Los Angeles air raid witnessed by tens of thousands of people, how the science fiction series Star Trek by Gene Roddenberry was really based on our secret Navy space fleet called Solar Warden. He covers William Tompkins' role in the design and development of Navy's secret space program during his almost 40 years as a Navy and aerospace engineer. That's laid out in length. Dr. Sala's books have superb references to nearly every claim or unusual allegation, and each one of his books has dozens and dozens of references for your research. I'll be giving you those at the end. Bear with me as I unpack this just a bit. One of the interesting patterns that's revealed in Dr. Sala's books is how much Earth resembles a proxy war for a larger power struggle in deep space. You have the White Hats, aka the Alliance, with the U.S. Navy, the pro-humanity ET races such as the Nordics. You got Space Force and parts of the NSA on our side. And I think you can probably assume there are nation states that are part of this alliance as well. Britain, France, Japan, Canada, and maybe even rival nations like China and Russia might be part of this larger space alliance. Rumors abound today. And on the other side, of course, you have the Black Hats, aka the Deep State, with their Draco reptilian overlords, to use a David Icke term, with the CIA, Mossad, MI6, and other parts of the NSA, all compartmentalized and doing their part to keep the truth under wraps. And one fairly recent event that triggered panic in the Deep State was this. The U.S. Navy and the U.S. Air Force both had secret space programs that the other did not know the details of. Think about that. That is how compartmentalized these black op boxes are. The right hand and left hand are purposely kept from sharing intel with the other. Well, the U.S. Navy's alliance was with the Nordics, a human-looking race of ETs with pro-humanity leanings and a willingness to share technology. This was the Navy's alliance. And then the Air Force, on the other hand, had their alliance with the Nazi Fourth Reich reptilian ETs based out of Antarctica. These anti-humanity ETs had and have very advanced space technology, and gave our Air Force old, tired, obsolete technology. And they led them to believe that they had the cutting edge stuff. So you had the Navy Solar Warden program way out in deep space. All the while, the Air Force is puttering around our solar system thinking they're the shit. And this all changed in 2016. So to sum this part up, you had one portion of the secret space program aligned with the Nazi Antarctica Fourth Reich and keeping humanity enslaved and in the dark, and they had agreements with the United States Air Force. And then on the other hand, you had a pro-humanity group of ETs who were and are helping the U.S. Navy, and each did not know the details of the other. That's how compartmentalized it was. And to further complicate it, the Naval Space Force was much more advanced, as the pro-humanity ETs, known as the Nordics, as they're called in documents, was sincerely sharing space technology and trying to help humanity emerge. Whereas on the other hand, the deep state aligned ETs that were helping the Air Force and partnering with the Air Force were giving them lies and half-truths about technology and who knew what. Ultimately, though, the U.S. Air Force found out. Dr. Salas shares details of this in his books. It's really interesting. And when the Air Force command found out and muttered, quote, Jesus Christ, we are the fucking Coast Guard of space, unquote, they changed their course and aligned with the pro-humanity Nordics, the same ones as the Navy. Once this realignment was complete, the stage was set for President Trump to create Space Force and integrate all U.S. space assets and technology, since there was no longer a split. Are you following me? Hang in there. There have been historical references to a shadow government, an invisible deep state that pulls the levers of power from behind the scenes. We've done tons of episodes here on Basecamp about our ongoing war, the war between we the people and this deep state, and this is simply a new wrinkle talking about space power and their role in that. Among the earliest references to such an entity was former President Theodore Roosevelt, who said in a 1912 speech, quote, behind the ostensible government sits enthroned an invisible government, owing no allegiance and acknowledging no responsibility to the people. To destroy this invisible government, to befoul the unholy alliance between corrupt business and corrupt politics, is the first task of the statesmanship of the day, unquote. I think of both John F. Kennedy and President Trump as I read that. Only a year later, President Woodrow Wilson echoed Roosevelt's sentiments when he stated, quote, an invisible empire has been set up above the forms of democracy. Some of the biggest names in the U.S. in the field of commerce and manufacturing are afraid of somebody, of something. They know that there is a power somewhere so organized, so subtle, so watchful, so interlocked, so pervasive that they had better not speak above their breath when they speak in condemnation of it, unquote. Now, these are not fringe citizen journalists speaking this way. This is two different American presidents. Interesting, isn't it? Now, here's what Dr. Salas says about a likely disclosure scenario. And base campers, we're right on top of disclosure, as in it is already happening. Humanity is collectively getting up to speed on all this material. It is very likely that advanced space technologies possessed by the United States Air Force Secret Space Program will be the first to go public. These can be most easily disclosed since there's already public awareness of their existence due to multiple whistleblowers, insiders, and witness reports of the existence of saucer-shaped craft known as ARVs, triangular-shaped craft known as TR-3Bs, rectangular-shaped platforms and stealth space stations. The emergence of Space Force will enable the surfacing of the myriad deep black technologies which have been funded by the deep state and CIA through multiple corrupt practices. Exposure of the deep state and CIA's complicity in international corruption and human rights abuses used to raise billions of dollars towards a black budget will forever end these illicit funding mechanisms. Consequently, Space Force will likely be funded through more conventional sources such as congressional appropriations. However, a much more dramatic disclosure event will be the revelation of the role of visiting Nordic extraterrestrials who have been now helping the United States Air Force, and they help the Navy as well, as we've said, advance its secret space program. It is very likely that the United States Air Force secret space program will reveal its relationship with the Nordics as part of its disclosure process. Think about that. The first concrete sign of this took place with the June 2017 leaking of the 1989 Defense Intelligence Agency's preliminary briefing document discussing human-looking extraterrestrials. By now, it should be clear to readers that the DIA, the NRO, and the NSA are important partners in the United States Air Force Secret Space Program. The DIA document is already publicly available and will only gain wide widespread attention as others authenticate key elements in it, as Dr. Robert Wood did in December of 2018. On a little sidebar, one thing that's never considered in the whole, well, if ETs are real, how come they haven't come out and told us skepticism is this. If there was no truth to the ET narrative, if all of it was bunk, it wouldn't resonate so powerfully with so many people worldwide. I'm talking about people in every nation, every epoch, every nook and cranny of the globe, all races, creeds, and socioeconomic backgrounds. The truth of our collaboration with ETs is like a collective dream or memory that we all share. The mystics know. They've told us in no uncertain terms, over and over again, I might add. Only fools expect the obvious, for the evidence to hit them over the head. If there are ETs that have assisted us, and there are ETs that hate us or want to continue to use us as a slave colony, then certainly we would be talking about a phenomenon that is multidimensional, don't you think? As in, they're more advanced than us, and by all reports they are, then seeing them in 3D world would be a matter of choice for them, not a matter of choice for us. Are you following me? And here is what Dr. Sala says in one of his conclusions, and I think it goes to the heart of the matter. He says, quote, humanity is emerging out of a brutal temporal war that was hotly contested between multiple extraterrestrial races and organizations and their human partners. The fact that you are reading this conclusion is a testament to the fact that we as a planetary species have emerged largely intact from this war, bruised and battered, but still here. We have survived thanks to a powerful alliance of humans and extraterrestrials working behind the scenes to neutralize all efforts by the Dark Alliance to have our world implode in a devastating Third World War, unquote. He goes on to say, our collective choices will now shape how we as a planet interact with the different extraterrestrial organizations that have interacted with us throughout this war. The bewildering assortment of secret space programs and the extraterrestrial alliances that are associated with them is tremendously complex and unknown not only to the general public, but to most senior political and military officials in all nations. It's wild to consider this, isn't it? How much of it is true? All? None? Half? If the truth is looking for us, what is it trying to tell us? Can you get a clear picture for yourself, base camper? I was speaking with a friend the other day about extraterrestrials, and he asked me, do you think we'll see full disclosure about our collaboration with these different ET races in our lifetime? My answer? I think we're already seeing it. We're in disclosure. This is what it looks like. And I believe that Dr. Sala's books, along with many others, such as William Tompkins' book Selected by Extraterrestrials, not to mention all the whistleblowers that have come out and will be coming out in the months ahead, the growing UFO and truther community worldwide around this topic. And I just think like people like Gene Roddenberry has really readied our consciousness, don't you think? I feel ready. And there's a lot of talk in certain circles about a false flag alien invasion. You may have been down a rabbit hole or two yourself on this, meaning that the deep state is going to try to scare the crap out of everyone using advanced technology from their reptilian Nazi Antarctic collaboration. There's rumors of advanced holographic technology that they may possess to be used for this purpose. But I believe that any such efforts would fall flat. Citizen journalists, Anons, as we're called, would be putting out truth bombs that would act as signal amidst all the noise on mainstream media. In short, we and the truth have the higher ground, to use a military concept. If you see a quote-unquote alien invasion scenario on mainstream media, know that it is a sham. It is something pre-planned and staged. They are using it to create a huge fear response that they can then use against us in opportunistic ways. Simply proceed to the closest truther you can find for a much clearer picture. Are you following me? So for me, the simplified version is something like this. Sometime in our history, some would say from the very beginning, we have had collaborations with at least three different ET groups, probably many more than that, actually. They can be easily categorized into two broad groups. One, those that seek to continue to enslave humanity. To use a law of one terminology, these would be the service to self groups. For example, these would include the Alpha Draconians, Reptilians, the Greys, and the Orion Empire, among others. And the second group that seeks to assist humanity in their ascension and arrival into the galactic community. And these would include service to other ETs, which is another law of one term, and would include such groups as the Nordics, the Pleiades, the Arcturians, and members of organizations such as the Galactic Federation. To further this pattern in our minds, Earth is seen as a grand experiment, seeded by many of these advanced ET groups. And who has controlled Earth up till now? Well, not the pro-humanity groups. It has been the service to self ETs all along. along with their deep state minions. That is why we have so much deception, lies, and violence. We live in a system that was created to control and demean us. Are you able to see this? I would like to stay with this just for a minute. So you'll notice that there really isn't anything enlightening about any of the meta systems that we live under. Not the government, not the medical system, not the media clown show, not big tech with all their surveillance, not the sham money system, not the war machine of the deep state, and certainly not the cover-up about our involvement and collaboration with several ET races. Nothing we can see is pro-humanity except us. Us, our allies, and our resistance to this methodology and enslavement. And I remember a light going off for me on this topic, a big ding, ding, ding that I recognized as truth hitting the shores of my awareness. I was reading something David Icke was pointing to, that at the very top of the power structure on this planet is a small group of psychopaths, sociopaths, that hate humans and their children, but that these entities were of a different ET race, and it sort of clicked for me as in, of course. This helps explain the absolute insanity we see at the top. They are our enemy, and they're perhaps a different species with a very different agenda. They hate our love of freedom. They hate our inborn divinity and our awareness of something much larger that is assisting us. Some will say God, and I agree, but we're also talking about something galactic, as in who are our allies in space. We have them, we know them, and many are interacting with them as we speak. Are you aware of this? Oh yeah, as in daily conversations with pro-humanity ETs that want us to see and hear them. Consciousness is being upgraded with the new galactic software as we speak. I, for one, am grateful for this upgrade. Quick question for the Christians out there, well, and the Muslims and the Jews. Can you integrate the emergent ET disclosure into your faith? I believe it's easy, but some think the ET issue kills religion as we know it. I don't think so. What if Christ himself was an advanced, deeply pro-humanity extraterrestrial? I'm being serious. How would we know at this point? He certainly seemed otherworldly in his love and his knowledge of universal principle, and I'm not saying that to upset Christians or be blasphemous. Speaking of religion, I recently read Mario Biglio's The Naked Bible. Great read, by the way. Mr. Biglio is considered to be one of the world's foremost scholars on the Bible. Do you know what he says? He says that he believes the Bible is a story about extraterrestrials and that the so-called God of the Bible, Yahweh, was really an ET warlord and one that didn't like humanity all that much. Where have we seen this dynamic before? He says it's all there in plain language, and this is a man who has read the Bible in Hebrew, Aramaic, Egyptian, as well as Greek. I don't know about you, but whenever someone that smart is interpreting new things from an ancient text, I tend to want to know what he thinks, if nothing else, but to consider it, right? Shifting gears now, there is a universal hermetic principle that says, as above, so below, so above. It's a powerful principle and can help us discern some of what we're talking about. This principle, I believe, helps to confirm the galactic battle that is going on and the impact that it's having here on our planet. For what is happening here is also happening above, and what is happening above is also reflected in what you see in 3D Earth. Are you following me? If there are races of ETs that are at war with one another over territory and who colonizes which planets, and if we are part of this conflict, a sort of proxy war in the battle between galactic races, wouldn't we be able to see evidence here? And what would that evidence look like? Well, you might see a powerful group in control that uses every technique to keep control. Every means justifies the end. You might see a controlling group with disdain for humanity. They don't like people. And it's understandable since we are an existential threat to them and their control grid, are we not? Where have I seen this pattern before? Let me look. It's hard to find. I'm kidding, of course. The evidence is all around us. The globalists, in Icke's view, he refers to them as the reptilians or the Alpha Draconians, as they are referred to throughout the galaxy. They use phrases like useless eaters and sheeple and goyim to refer to us, and they will use any and all means to traumatize and paralyze our upward movement. In short, this group hates us, and they hate our divinity, our children, and what we stand for. The evidence is too abundant to go over now. If you have eyes to see and ears to hear, you will understand this part without too much fuss. We've been over this stuff, some would say ad nauseum, but we want to give everyone a chance to have that light bulb aha moment for themselves. And if we are part of a proxy war in a larger galactic conflict, you would see evidence of the pro-humanity allies, would you not? The resistance, so to speak. And I think you see this in spades as well. The worldwide patriot movement that includes all people in all nations, all the whistleblowers, military and otherwise, disclosing the truth of our allies. The overwhelming number of light workers here for the shift to 5D, as they say. The Nordics, the Pleiadians, the Galactic Federation, and its plan to gently bring an emerging humanity coming out of its slave and victim mentality into something galactic, divine, God, and light-centered, and glorious. Is this just a sci-fi fantasy? I can understand you thinking that. There's just one problem with that take. We are speaking to them every day. They are telling us what is about to happen. The sci-fi future is upon us. Where will you be in the adoption curve, I wonder? For me, I've already made my bet, and it will always be with the pro-humanity tribes of this galaxy. The David Icke phenomenon. I remember hearing about David Icke years and years ago. He arrived on my radar with a warning from a friend. This is dangerous material. However, the person that warned me of this was not exactly a bold soul, and his warning acted as a prod to have me find out what was so scary about David Icke, and I found out in a big way. Icke was talking about all kinds of futuristic things years, hell, decades before the rest of us arrived. If there's a poster child for pioneer, it would be this brave soul. But the thing is, today, Icke looks like a fucking sage, a steely-eyed futurist that prepared us for battle. What was he showing his readers? Well, first of all, his grasp of the power structure on Earth and how all the generational families and organizations and secret societies intersect and enmesh, and how they structure their information and use disinformation to keep us plebs from seeing it is awe-inspiring in its efficiency. I remember when I saw the power pyramid in one of David's famous books and being just thunderstruck by the clarity and obviousness of it all. Sort of like when Neo first sees the Matrix for himself. He freaks out and pukes. Same thing with Icke's material. The reason I'm mentioning Icke here is he has pointed out on countless occasions at the top of the control grid is, yep, you guessed it, a nasty group of ETs that he refers to both as the Alpha Draconians, aka the Reptilians. When I first came across his thesis so many years ago, I integrated the power structure on my own inner knowing. That was obvious and necessary to understand global power and who held the strings. The ET thing I set aside as it seemed a bit too much to integrate. But looking back now, I realize it was just the first shot across the bow of my own inner knowing. The truth had my attention. Now it was going to work on my consciousness over the years, marinating and waiting for the right sequence and timeline to emerge. And here we are, and I'm speaking with you across time and space. And remember, the indigenous tribes the world over have always kept the truth about our connection to the star people, as they call them. It is in their lore, their myths, and in their oral history. And according to many of their shamans and medicine men, they've been instructed recently to prepare all of humanity for the rearrival of the star tribes. It's interesting, isn't it? Native American tribes maintain that they are descended from the star nations, races of beings populating different star systems, such as Sirius and Orion. The Sioux, who are cousins of the Chippewa, which is my own bloodline, for example, trace their origin to the seven sisters of the Pleiades in the constellation of Taurus. My own resonance with the ET race known as the Pleiadians is well known in my innermost circle. I found a couple tidbits from the Pleiadians, and I thought I would put them here for you. Here is what the Pleiadians, according to Barbara Marciniak, a contactee, say about crop circles, another topic that's near and dear to me. Man, the synchronicity is unbelievable. They say, quote, sacred geometry has an evolved intelligence that communicates huge amounts of information. Crop circles all over the world are put there by sounds that are above human frequency. The circles and shapes being put on Earth to help you manage your frequency and to help fortify your courage to live by the divine light, unquote. Oh, and they also say this about light. They say, quote, we define light as the promoting, dispensing, and sharing of information. Dark is the controlling and withholding of information, unquote. Man, they're speaking my language. Before finishing up, I wanted to give you a few resources in case you want to go down your own rabbit hole and pull the truth closer to your awareness. There's a million and one out there. I just picked out a few, just enough to move the needle for you, in my humble opinion. First up, Dr. Michael Sala's books, of course. He has a whole series of them on the secret space programs. It's excellent material to start with great sources. Of all the books, I think my three favorites, number one, the U.S. Navy Secret Space Program and Nordic Extraterrestrial Alliance is the title. So that's U.S. Navy's Secret Space Program and Nordic Extraterrestrial Alliance. The second one I recommend, the title is the U.S. Air Force Secret Space Program. And the final one, number three, Space Force, our Star Trek future. All of these are eye-popping and inspiring reads and will certainly open your mind and your consciousness to a wider galactic view, which is something I think we're tasked with right now. This is the space portion of the Great Awakening, so to speak. Another recommendation is David Icke's book. Yep, The Dangerous Material of David Icke, Base Campers. He is a prolific writer. You can Google his name and look around his website. My all-time favorite book of Icke's is titled Human Race, Get Off Your Knees, The Lion Sleeps No More. He's a brilliant thinker and writer and a deeply pro-humanity voice. I love how he uses the lion as a symbol for our humanity. He fights on our side, and I'm grateful for that. And I mentioned the biblical scholar Mario Biglino. His material and methodology is really fascinating and will definitely give you insights into source material in the Bible. Definitely worth a read. I have two of his books. One's titled The Naked Bible, and the second one is titled Gods of the Bible, and I love both of these. And lastly, if you want to go view UFOs in real time, I'm totally serious. Right here where I'm at, near Mount Adams, where I grew up, near where I grew up in Longview, is Isetti Ranch. You can make a road trip and camp and watch the light show over the mountain, and they have great video footage of a bunch of their UFO sightings at their website at www.isetti.org. That's Isetti is ECETI.org. Enjoy those. The brilliance and resilience of the human spirit continue to shine forth, and it is a breathtaking thing to behold. For those that can see what is unfolding, I would say keep up the great work, and ready or not, human consciousness is about to get a major upgrade. A galactic perspective is being birthed in the tribe in our lifetimes. I, for one, am ready and excited. How can you not be? Do you still think there's no way we're collaborating with extraterrestrials and that some of them are assisting us with this leap of faith? Well, like any technology, there's pioneers like David Icke and early adopters like myself and maybe you, mainstream adopters and laggards, and you get to decide where you're at on the adoption curve. Some people are just more cautious by nature. I get that, man. They like to look around to see what the herd will do. However, that is not my way. I like to adopt early whenever possible as I get to see fresh terrain and new possibilities for humanity on my hero's journey. The well-worn path is just not for me, and it never has been. And maybe it's not for you either. If I'm not excited, inspired, awed, and a little frightened, I'm probably not quite where I need to be. Are you following me? Maybe the whole point of this episode was to meet you where you're at, give you the information I have you consider with an open mind some of these alternative viewpoints, and have you move your own consciousness towards the light of truth just a bit more. For you and I are one. We always have been and always will be. There's never been a better time to be a human being on planet Earth. Not because things are perfect here in our 3D world. Quite the contrary. The old paradigms and systems built by our enemies, the reptilians and their deep state minions, are crumbling, and it's really scary at times. But we have powerful allies who are working with us to ensure that America and the world have something glorious in our future. I, for one, am here for it, and I'm giving disclosure, full disclosure, the green light. There's a song I would like to finish with, my favorite song since I was a little kid, which again has some synchronicity in it. It has always represented transcendence, our emergence, and a coming galactic worldview. I hope you found this episode valuable, and I wish you Godspeed as humans stand once again at the front tier of space and what is possible for us. Thank you for giving me space and for your non-judgmental listening, base campers. I truly appreciate it.
She packed my bags last night, pre-flight. 0 hour, 9 a.m. And I'm gonna be high as a kite by then. I miss the earth so much. I miss my wife. It's lonely out in space on such a timeless flight. And I think it's gonna be long, long time till touchdown brings me round again to find I'm not the man they think I am at home. Oh no, 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 I'm a rocket man, rocket man, burning out his fuse out. this ain't the kind of place to raise your kids. In fact, it's cold as hell, and there's no one there to raise them. If you did, I don't understand, it's just my job 5 days a week. A rocket man, a rocket man. And I think it's gonna be a long, long time till touchdown. I think it's gonna be a long, long time. And I think it's gonna be a